Turn with me to Matthew 1. Today we have the privilege of looking at the story of Joseph. And I must tell you that of all the characters in the Christmas narratives, Joseph is my favorite. Perhaps it is because he is such an unsung hero. I'm not sure. But if there is a man in all of Scripture that is my favorite, it would be Joseph. As you, if there's ever a passage when I think it is more important that you get behind the words to understand what is going on, it is in the story of Joseph. To put yourself in the place that Joseph was in as he made the decisions that he made. It's interesting to me because Scripture actually seldom refers to Joseph as the father of Christ. Rather, Scripture refers to Joseph as the husband of Mary. It's almost as if Joseph, in spite of being chosen by God literally to raise his son. Can you think about that? What greater honor could there be for God to choose you to raise his only son than Joseph had that honor, and yet he is rarely referred to as that particular man. He's referred to as the husband of Mary. We see that in the genealogy in the opening chapter of Matthew in the 16th verse. And in the first century, that was significant. Names that people have were given, they were significant, much more so than in our day. And the words that a father spoke were very significant. And the father, for example, was required to name his child on the 8th day following birth. He gave the child the name. In fact, if you remember, Zacharias named John the Baptist. And he was the one that gave that name. They looked to Zacharias, the father, in order to provide the name. Yet, if you look at the story of Joseph, there is no recording of Jesus, of Joseph naming Jesus. It's like the event is missed. And yes, Joseph and Mary do go to the temple on the day that he is to be named. But Simeon speaks to Mary. If you look at the text, he speaks to Mary. Joseph is like not there. It's like he's not there. And in fact, do you realize that Joseph never says a single word that is recorded in Scripture? I mean, you know, it's like in our Easter pageants and Christmas pageants, sometimes I'll hear somebody say that you know, they have an insignificant part because they don't have any lines. And that, therefore, defines that their part is not that significant. They're in the crowd scene, so to speak. Well, if you look at the Scriptures, almost like Joseph is in the crowd scene. It's like he's just there. Yet this man had such a role in bringing the Son of God to life. And it's Joseph that Jesus literally receives the legal right to be called a descendant of David. And so I think that Joseph, it's like on the one hand, I see a man who is a godly man. In fact, as Lee was singing, the choir was singing, and we said, just stand. When you've done all you can, just stand. I'm thinking of Joseph because that he did all he could, and he stood. He stood and God used it and God blessed him. And in fact, what you see in the story of Joseph is so different. And we've said this before. What we see in the story of Joseph is so different than the way we understand Christmas in terms of peace and warmth and you know, scenes filled with angels. That we, you know, our postcard scene is just not what Scripture says. If you could get in the mind of Joseph, if you could walk in his shoes just for a little bit of time, to see how Joseph encountered the storms that he knew were coming. It sheds light on how you and I should encounter the storms that we are walking into right now in our world, in our lives. And so, to me, Joseph is a model. And He's a model to follow, not simply a model to follow because of his spiritual relationship, but because of his role as a father, his role as a husband. And the importance that God places on the family in the text is incredible. It's like, to me, God says so much through the Christmas narratives for his people to follow and emulate. It's overwhelming. So look with me, beginning in verse 18 of Matthew 1. And what, you know, the chronology of the events is Mary has, Zacharias and Elizabeth have already had their visit from Gabriel. They prophesied, Gabriel said that Elizabeth would be pregnant. 6 months go by, and then the angel comes to Mary. The angel Gabriel walks in her house and tells Mary she's going to conceive in her womb and she's going to bear a son. And what happens is, and that's in Luke's gospel, the first chapter. What happens then is Mary leaves immediately and goes to Aunt Elizabeth's house. And when she arrives at Aunt Elizabeth's house, the babe in Elizabeth's womb immediately leaps, and Mary ushers forth in this amazing song, praising God, which we sang about just a moment ago. And I'm sitting there in the pew, and I'm thinking, well, where's Joseph's song? You know, where's his praise? And it's all, and in a certain way, it just makes me think, I'm going to preach a sermon before I get started. You know, it's sort of like, in a certain way, sort of the role I think that dads have sometimes. You know, it's like our role, you know, we don't have to have the most lines. You know, we don't have to be the one that you know is out. I don't mean to say this in the wrong way, but don't get me to put me in the doghouse, please, whatever. But we don't have to have all the answers, but we have to be there. We have to be there, and we have to be there as a symbol of strength and a symbol of protection, God's protection. You know, it's like we talk about spiritual leadership, the man being a spiritual leader. What does that mean? Does that mean that guys would go around telling everybody what to do? Nah, it's not what Joseph did. I don't see that in Joseph at all. I do see Joseph as a leader who his wife could follow. So, okay, Matthew 1. So that's the chronology. Mary's gone to Elizabeth. She stays there 3 months. She comes back home. Nobody knows she's pregnant when she comes back home. And then she begins to show. That's when Joseph finds out. So Matthew 1, verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. She was found. Doesn't say she told anybody. She was found. She was discovered. So that's how they learned about it. But it's also interesting to me. We need to know just a little bit about it, what it means to be betrothed. Okay? In the first century, betrothal was like a wedding, like they were already married. The only thing that separated a betrothal and a wedding ceremony itself is that the bride did not live with a husband. With a groom. That's the only thing that separated. Everything else was just like a wife, like a marriage. In fact, if you broke that betrothal contract, it was called a divorce. The bride was actually called a wife. And, so that's where it is. It's almost as if they're married, but they're not living together. So verse 19. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. So what Joseph does, he decides he's going to put her away because he didn't want her stoned. You see, that was the penalty for Mary's presumed unfaithfulness. And think about it now, okay? How long has Mary been with Aunt Elizabeth? 3 months. If you were Joseph, what do you think you'd think? Your fiance is off to Aunt Elizabeth's house, and along the way, something happens. She becomes pregnant. And then she tells you some cockamamie story that an angel appeared and she's going to have a child by the Holy Spirit. You going to believe that? Well, what does Joseph do? He decides to put her away secretly. In other words, he doesn't want to make it a public spectacle. It's that a public spectacle is what the law required so that everyone would know that Mary was a unclean woman, someone to stay away from. So it's a public ceremony, and literally the law allowed and required Mary to be stoned. So Joseph doesn't want that to happen. So he protects her. It's interesting. It's almost as if you begin to see hints of this man's character. In that very verse right there, you begin to see a hint of who he is as a man. Verse 20, but when he had considered this, okay, he's already decided it. He's decided what he's going to do. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Notice, appeared to him in a dream. What's the angel's name? Oh, really? He's unnamed. Gabriel is not named in this passage. Joseph gets a visit from an unnamed angel in a dream. Now, let me ask you a question. I don't know about you, but if I ever eat late, I have some bad dreams. You reckon Joseph maybe woke up in the morning and said, wow, what did I eat yesterday? Because I really had a strange dream last night. When he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. Interesting. Joseph, son of David. Why do you think the angel put that adjective right there? Joseph, son of David. It's like, you know what? When God asks us something, when he tells us something, never think that God's plan is to deceive you. God's plan is always to give you enough information so you will obey him. Why does it say Jonah, son of David? The angel is reaching down into who Joseph knows his heirs were, and the fact that through his heirs and the line going through Joseph, Joseph possessed the legal right to give to Christ to be a descendant of David. 2 Samuel 7, verse 16 says that. Says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. It's an interesting word. Do not be afraid to take Mary as his wife. Why would he be afraid? Think about it. Think about it. Joseph is engaged to Mary. And Mary has said that the child that she's carrying was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so the implication is that Mary has already said to Joseph, Joseph, don't divorce me. However, Joseph's concluded that he must. Now the angel says, don't be afraid. Why does the angel say, don't be afraid? Because you see, if Joseph goes through with the ceremony, goes through with the betrothal, if he goes through with the contract, with the marriage ceremony, of course there's no ceremony, but goes through with the marriage and does not divorce Mary, you know what that does? It implicates Joseph to be the father. And Joseph, the scripture has already told us, is a righteous man. This would be a man that followed the law. Among that law would be, thou shalt not commit adultery. This would be the admission of committing adultery by a man who at his very core believes the word of God and follows the word of God. In fact, you know what I think distinguishes Joseph, and we'll see this in a minute. Joseph, there was a connection between what God said and what Joseph did in his life. Can you imagine, really, just in the context of all of the tragedies that we have experienced as a country over the last 13 years, just beginning with Columbine 13 years ago, can you imagine how many of those would not have occurred if we as a people, even the people of God, if we connected what God's Word says with what we do? It's almost as if somehow what has happened in our day is that there is a disassociation between what God's Word says and how it applies to my life. And how could we say that? How could we make that conclusion? One way we can make that conclusion is to say to each one of us, okay, do I know the Word of God? How do I know the Word of God? Do I know what God's Word says? Do I go to God's word for problems or concerns or direction? You know, if I look back, I was sitting there this morning thinking about my own life. How many times God has spoken to me in one of these ways? When I'm seeking direction, how many times God has spoken to me in my life because I have his word open at that particular moment? And in the reading of his word, I hear he says something. Perhaps something that I prayed about, but he speaks right then. Okay, and he speaks, and I connect. I connect what my issue is, my struggle is, and what God is just, what I'm reading out of his word. It's like, I hear God in those ways. I've heard God when I was called into ministry. When I was called into ministry in 1985, 1986, you know what I was doing? When it sort of led up to this high point. Debbie and I were on vacation in Holden Beach, North Carolina, and it was about 5 o'clock on Sunday morning. The Sunday morning we were getting ready to go back home at the end of vacation. It was at that time I was in having a quiet time with the Lord. Okay? And I had, I don't even recall the details. I just know that part of my quiet time that day was I was reading the book, The Cost of Discipleship. Last week I read to you a quote that Dietrich Bonhoeffer made where he connects obedience and discipleship. And what obedience and belief, rather, and what Bonhoeffer basically says if you believe, then you will obey, and if you don't obey, then you don't believe. And at that precise moment, as I am standing right here talking to you, the word of the Lord spoke to me and said, God said, I want you to go. I want you to go into ministry full time. As if I could hear him audibly. Now, what is my point? Suppose I wasn't present that morning with God studying his word. Suppose that morning I slept in. Suppose I didn't think it was important that I spent time in God's word or reading a book written by a fellow Christian believer who God had used. Suppose I didn't think that was critical. I'd have missed that word. How many times has God spoken to me in my own life, listening to a sermon? When a part of this call experience for Debbie and I, you know what? We were at that point in our lives, we were in a church and it was as dead could be. It was dead. Huge church. We love that church. But you know what? It was dead. And you know what we were doing? We started doing? We started listening to Charles Stanley Sunday nights. Charles Stanley would come on Sunday nights, and we just weren't getting fed in the morning. We started listening to Charles Stanley. And you know what? When I was listening to Charles Stanley one time, I got one of the most powerful spiritual principles that I've applied many times in my life, including the time that I decided to go into ministry. You know what Charles Stanley said? He said, if you really want to do God's will in your life, then here's how you can do that. You ask God to give you the desire in your heart to do exactly what he is calling you to do. And so you know what I prayed? I said, Lord, you called me to be a CPA. And I love what I'm doing. But if you want me to go be a preacher, then you give me the desire to preach more than my desire to be a CPA. And he did. Now my point again. Joseph connected the dots between what God's word says and what he did. And if you never give God an opportunity to speak to you other than a Sunday morning, you're missing a lot of conversations. Does that make sense? This is a man, because of what he did, this was a man who who heard from God on a regular basis. In fact, I would say, go so far as to say, this is a man who is tuned in to the sound of the voice of God. This is a man who is tuned in to the sound of the voice of God. Why do we say that? It says, Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. Why would Joseph be afraid? Think about it. Number one, if he marries her, if he goes through with it, he's implicated as a father. If he's implicated as a father, that means his own physical life is at danger. He also can be stoned, just like she is. Has the possibility of being stoned. Not only does he have physical dangers, but he also has dangers to his reputation. Joseph's reputation, if he goes through with this, will be destroyed. Joseph and Mary will also be disowned by their family. And if you look in the second chapter of Luke, when the census is declared for all who are of the family, what all families are to do is to go to the city of their origin for the census. Joseph and Mary go alone. Why are they going alone? Because their families have disowned them, even though they're going to Bethlehem. So Joseph had all these reasons to have fears. But this is a man who is so tuned in to the Word of God. He's tuned into the Word of God that what he can do is, the way he can respond to fear is through faith. He can believe the Word of God. You with me? Says 21, and she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Now let me ask you a question. Why do you think that Joseph is the only one who gets this message? Joseph is the only one who's given the prophecy, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Joseph, by the way, that means God with us. How many times do you think Joseph might have wondered if he had misheard God? How many losses do you think Joseph went through before he came to a point and he said, God, where are you in this struggle? How many times do you think life went the wrong way for Joseph? And Joseph, how many times do you think Joseph looked up to God? Let me ask you a question, guys. Do you think Joseph looked up and asked God why it took him so long to declare this census so that he's going to Bethlehem when Mary's 9 months pregnant? Do you think Joseph said something like, I guarantee he talked to Joseph. Joseph talked to God in a very honest way. I mean, you think Joseph said something like this? Father, don't you think you could have maybe called, maybe knocked on Caesar's door? You could have knocked on his door just maybe 3 months earlier. Couldn't you have gotten us to Bethlehem for the census so that I could have gotten back home here with my wife so I could protect her and take care of her? Couldn't you have gotten, give us just a little bit more time before she's 9 months pregnant, and now we're in Bethlehem? Let me ask you this. What do you think Joseph thought when 2 years after the birth of Jesus? You see, now this is how it goes. 2 years after the birth of Jesus, that's when the Magi show up. Not the way we have it on our Christmas programs. The Magi don't show up on the night Jesus is born. The scripture says in the second chapter of Matthew that Herod decided that he was going to kill all the babies from 2 years old or younger the time that the Magi first saw the star. It takes 2 years before the Magi ever get to Bethlehem. Tell me something. You think Joseph said something like this, Lord? We've been in Bethlehem for 2 years. Could you not? I mean, we're secure and we're safe. I've finally gotten a basic clientele back with my carpentry business. And the next, and now you want me to go to Egypt? You realize that? The very next chapter, what happens is Herod finds the Magi have tricked him. And you remember what he does? He sends his soldiers to Bethlehem to kill all the children that are 2 years or younger, all the males. And in Joseph, and that night, the night that the babies are going to be killed, you know what happens to Joseph? He has another dream. His second dream. No angelic visitation. Now, he has another dream. And in the dream, the angel says, Joseph, get out of town because Herod's soldiers are coming. Suppose Joseph had thought, well, what's the rush? It's the middle of the night. This angel wants me to wake my wife up in the middle of the night, pack everything up, and go to Egypt? Angel, have you forgotten that Egypt is not a very safe place for Jews? You want me to go to Egypt? Do you realize the text says that immediately Joseph arises. He gets up. Immediately. Every single time Joseph has a dream and he has an instruction from an angel, every single time all the scripture says about to Joseph is he arose and he did it. He arose and he did it. He arose and he did it. Let me ask you a question. I wonder what it would take us to know the sound of God's voice so clearly that all we would have to have would be one statement from God, and then we do it. Do you know that I bet you it took Debbie and I about 100 times telling for God to say that we needed to go into the ministry before we finally drew the line in the sand and decided we were? Joseph was the kind of man, he's the kind of husband who loved his wife. If there's ever an example of a husband who loves his wife like Christ loved the church, it's Joseph. He's always about protecting Mary. He's always making sure that Jesus is going to survive. It doesn't matter what it costs him. It doesn't matter what he has to do. And it doesn't matter what a fool everyone else thinks he is. Joseph is going to do what God tells him to do. And he's going to do it without complaining. Joseph never complains. He never says, will you say that again for me? The angel never has to repeat himself. You remember what Zechariah said? Zechariah said, well, how in the world am I going to know that's a true statement? Mary even said, but I don't understand because I'm a virgin. Joseph doesn't say to the angel, wait a minute, what are you? I thought she was a virgin. Joseph says nothing. He simply does what God tells him to. Why? He's tuned in. What would it take you to get so tuned in like that to God? Do you think that Joseph got tuned in like that to God by just showing up on a Sunday morning once a week at Sabbath and that was it? Folks, hear me, okay? Hear me. You tell me. Tell me. What would it take? What would it take for you to know God's voice so clearly that he would tell you something that makes no sense and you would do it? Didn't matter how you felt. Didn't matter what it cost you. You would just do it. I mean, what? It's like, you know, it's like, okay, what happened in Connecticut? The scripture tells us it's going to get worse. Not better. It's going to get worse, not better. Scripture says, in the world you shall have tribulation. But then Christ says, but take courage, I've overcome it. Well, how do we overcome the fear of what's coming? Look at Joseph. How did Joseph overcome the fear? Joseph overcame the fear because of the message the angel gave him. He says, his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Joseph was a man who believed that message, and he walked in that message. He says, you know, if God is with me, if God is with me, all right, if God is with me, and this is the way God's calling me, is it possible, would it have been possible for Joseph to be able to understand and appreciate God with me if he had chosen not to get up and go to Egypt when God told him to? Because you see, God with me assumes that I am walking with God. See, if I'm not walking with God, how can he possibly be with me? But if I don't know what God's saying, how can I walk with God? Verse 24, and Joseph arose from his sleep. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took her as his wife. These are our clothes. Joseph's faith in God was sufficient to believe two things. Number one, God's hand of protection was over him. God's hand of protection was over him. Do you follow what I'm saying? Joseph believed that because of his relationship with the Lord, that God's hand of protection was over him. What does that mean in the context of, for example, this body of Christ? Just give me two more minutes. Just two more minutes. You know what that means? Here's what that means. That means that as you are in this place, connected in prayer and growing in Christ, and as we as a body of Christ believe that God protects us, so God does. Are we together? Okay, look, you want to take a 60-second? I mean, 2 seconds. That means that your prayers matter. That means my prayers matter. Because we pray that God will open a door that cannot be closed, that is exactly what will happen. What that means, in spite of the fact that Joseph has got all of this calamity going on all around him, what happened? In the middle of the night, he gets a message that babies are about to be destroyed, and so he gets up and he leaves. Why didn't God just zap the soldiers? Why does he tell Joseph to flee? No, because what God does oftentimes is he uses the everyday event of you and I protecting ourselves to give us the direction as to how we are protected. How many times does God say, give you an impression, this is what I want you to do for your child or children? And you do it, and in the process, something occurs, something doesn't occur that would have occurred had you not moved. Do you follow what I'm saying? You must believe that that's how God works. That God will answer your prayers with protection. He will do that. And when the body of Christ comes together to pray that, God carves a shelter over us. And let us suppose, here's a second thing that Joseph believed. Joseph first believed that God answered prayer and he was going to do that. He was going to get Joseph through as he walked with God. The next thing is Joseph knew that, you know, if something did happen, God was going to get him through it. That is what Emmanuel, God with us, means. and the role of his church. You know, children, families, people, God's people. We have to be one together. We have to come together. Think about it. You know what's the most important thing for your child right now? The most important thing for your child in the context of where we are in the world is to know the sound of God's voice. That's more important to your child than how good they do it on basketball. That's more important to your child than how they do in school. As important as those things are, what am I saying? You know what? If it were me, and Debbie and I have been through this, and if it were me, you know what? On Wednesday night, that's the time I'm going to have my child in church. And it doesn't matter whether they want to or feel like it or got other things to do. I'm going to get them here. Why? Why is that? Because this is the body of Christ, and we teach our children to know the sound of God's voice. Well, you say, well, maybe I'd rather, I think some of you ought to do it differently. You know what? This is who God gave you. We are all you got. So even if we don't do it the way you think we ought to do it, that's we all you got. I'm the only preacher you got. I'm the only one you got. Now, you could go to another one, I know. But right now, you're here. I'm all you got. And all you have on Wednesday night is who you got. And on Sunday night with the youth, it's the same thing. It's like what we've got to do is sort of rethink how we're making decisions and priorities. Because I think that's what Joseph did. I don't think this man could be the husband he was. I don't think he could lead the way he did. I don't think he could be the father he was without making God a priority in his life and for his family. When Jesus is age 12, you know what? He is where he's supposed to be, in the temple at age 12. Why is that? Because he had a daddy who was a spiritual leader that made sure his son knew the Lord and knew the sound of his voice, even though he was the only begotten son of God. Father, I just pray you'd take these words. I am so glad that in the same way that Joseph doesn't even have a line in the scripture, yet you used him powerfully. I am so glad, Father, that the words that I speak even today are not dependent upon me as a preacher, but upon your Holy Spirit. Upon your Holy Spirit reaching into the hearts of people and people receiving what you want to say to them. Oh, God, I pray for open hearts. In the context of a Connecticut, in the context of the struggles of the world that we live in, oh, Father, I pray that we would be a people of God who want to know who you are, who are tuned into who you are, who believe what you say, who take your promises at face value and act upon them, just like Joseph did. And I just thank you for the privilege of speaking on behalf of the only begotten Son of God. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. God's spoken to you in some way today. Here's what you can do. You just make your way to the front. You just kneel and you say, God, I have heard you. I can assure you that all and Joe. Joseph's knee, I can assure you that Joseph's knees were worn down by all the times he was on his knees asking God to be with him in the midst of the challenge that God had given him to bear. And we are no different than Joseph. The same God that loved him and chose him is a God that loves us and chooses us. So God, have your way. And we give you praise. In Christ's name. Amen.